The following previews are of graphic audio productions rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Calling Cerberus. Calling Cerberus. If you receive transmission, must listen closely. Offer information in exchange for asylum. Rendezvous. Repeat. Offer information for asylum. Information Tiamat Memp Buffer. Have information on memory buff of Tiamat.
Kane and the Cerberus warriors have just one chance to stop a rogue overlord from making a grab for absolute power.
Behold!
We've got a skull made out of quartz crystal. Picked it up in Pakistan the day before yesterday.
Really? Oh, this is better than I hoped. Two at hand, only 11 more to go. And as fortune would have it, I know just where they are.
What was that Sindri said about 11 more skulls?
According to legends among certain South American Indian tribes, there are 13 crystal skulls in existence. These skulls represented 12 planets and were originally kept in a Mayan pyramid within a circle formation. A 13th larger crystal skull represented the collective consciousness of the 12 and was placed in the center of the circle. This circle formation of the 12 crystal skulls, with one larger crystal skull in the center, was known as the Throne of Ascension.
A skull throne, in other words.
The only mystery is how to stop Overlord Nergal from laying claim to them.
It means joining forces with a Mayan goddess and two old enemies to win a race against time for the capture or destruction of an artifact long lost in the Mayan jungle.
With them, Nergal thinks he can gain control over Tiamat's neuronic systems, her main memory core.
Is gaining control over Tiamat even possible?
The crystal skulls are data transfer interfaces with the computer systems aboard Tiamat. Much like a wireless communication network that processes electronic and telemetric signals.
And the pyramid in the city is a transmission tower. That's why Nergal has been seeking out all the skulls, so he can reactivate it.
What the hell was all of that?
Holography.
A hologram of what, though?
It looked like a Mayan pyramid. Kane and I had to fight our way out of one a few years back.
The so-called lost city of Z, or X, of Xibalba, is not just a hiding place for the Maya's sacred relics, but was also used as a remote transmission station.
The secrets of Xibalba could help secure the contested prize of planet Earth.
So, when do we go?
Shit!
Outlanders number 41. Skull Throne.
I used to be a symbol of peace. Now they run away in fear. I've failed my mission.
The pieces are in place.
Protocol, tower watch, receive.
The game is set.
This is what the Titans meant. They're going to die.
Why would Superman risk everything?
Lois was the only one of us who still believed in you.
To save someone he loves.
But you took her!
Alliances have formed.
Your Earth has been splintered into a multiverse. The Earths will become weaker, and if they aren't brought back together soon, everything will be destroyed.
Now, the endgame can begin.
We've all made mistakes, Superman. But it's not too late to learn from them.
DC Comics.
Infinite Crisis, Part 2.
It can't end this way!
Available now.
www.graphicaudio.net
by Greg Cox, based on the DC Comics miniseries. Infinite Crisis and all related titles, characters, and elements are trademarks of DC Comics, copyright 2007 DC Comics.
And now, for our feature presentation.
Graphic Audio, a movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands, narrated by Richard Rowan, with performances by Terrence Acil Ford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King-Williams, Nanette Savard, Ken Jackson, Michael Replogle, Kate Torrey, Christopher Graybill, Sonny Lasky, Michael Glenn, Barbara Pinellini, James Lewis, and Mort Shelby. Deathlands number 25, Genesis Echo. Previously in Deathlands. After months of searching, former Warwag companions Trader, Abe, JB, and Ryan have been reunited near Seattleville. Meanwhile, back at Jack's ranch in New Mexico, Doc Tanner embarks on a lone sojourn into the mountains, where he meets a fellow traveler, Suki Smith. Suki agrees to accompany Doc back to Jack's ranch. But before Doc and his newfound love interest return, two obviously sick strangers, Ronnie Warren and his female companion Raylene, arrive by WAG, and Jack allows them to make a rest stop. The strangers have brought with them an object they claim to have found in the desert, 8 feet long and tied in rags. Jack soon discovers that their treasure in the WAG is, in fact, a radioactive nuclear missile. Later, when Doc and Suki arrive at the ranch, they find it apparently abandoned, with no outward sign of Jack, Mildred, Christy, and Dean. Ryan and his companion soon join Doc and Suki, and now they stand outside, the house looming over them like a gaunt, ghostly sepulcher, the windows shadowed, blank eyes staring down at the small group. Ryan turned to Suki.
You sure about not finding any sort of message left for us outside the house?
I said so.
It is more than a remote possibility that Christy or one of the others could have placed a letter for us, explaining precisely where they are, within the house, Ryan, my old friend.
Doc moved a pace to stand next to the woman and placed a protective arm around her shoulders.
Sure. Sorry, Doc. Sorry, Suki.
We will go into my room and keep out of your way, Ryan.
Fine.
JB was about to lead the way inside the house when he stopped, his eyes caught by something. He peered down at the lapel of his jacket.
Dark night.
What's that?
Rad counter. Look at your rad counter.
Ryan did so, angling it to catch the last fading rays of the setting sun. For a moment, a rich crimson light confused him, and he moved the little counter again, tilting it to make sure what he was seeing.
It's into the red. That means we're all standing in one of the biggest radiation hotspots that I've ever seen.
Mine shows the same. Can't all have malfunctioned at the same time. It's not even shading in the orange. It's way off the top of the danger scale.
For a few moments, the three friends stood still, looking at each other, trying to work out what freakish combination of circumstances could have brought what the Apaches called the silent death to this secure, isolated place.
Fire blast. It's really getting dark. That's Suki.
JB was quickest into the house, pushing open the kitchen door and running into the hall. Ryan was right at his heels, with Trader coming in a close third. They bumped into Doc in the shadowed hall, his arm around Suki. Ryan had the Smith & Wesson M4000 12-gauge scatter gun at the hip, cocked and ready.
What is it?
Two corpses in... No, it'll be all right, my dear. It will. I mean, a dead woman and a man knocking on heaven's door. Come outside, Suki, and away from it.
Now that they were inside the house, they could all taste the smell. A smell as familiar to each man as his own sweat. It was sour and bitter, flat and sharp, all at the same time. The unmistakable taint